Welcome to Just an Average Citizen, the podcast that helps to educate, inform, and empower you to make an impact in Abilene and the big country. Welcome to today's episode. It's going to be a unique one because when I don't have a lot of material to cover through different board meetings and things like that that the city offers, then I get a little freedom to help take you down the little road of municipality education, I guess, so that you can understand what's going on in our city to be able to know how you can be impactful in the community God's placed you. So thank you for joining me today. I would really appreciate if you subscribe and share whatever platform you listen to this or watch this on with your family and friends so we can get the word out, because I really think that once we start building this network of informing each other of what's going on, when things come up, we can really help each other get further along in being a part of making the impact that we so desire to do. And again, I think Abilene is a great place. I just think we have some places we can make some improvement to really make it a better place for all of its citizens, and not just specific locations or just people who are visiting, but the people who live here day in, day out. And so one of the ways we do that is by learning about our city and how it works and where we fit in and play a role in making a better place to live here in Abilene. So let's get started. I have a couple things I want to start off with. You know, for the next couple weeks until this happens, I'm going to be reminding you that March 5th is the Republican primary, and we are a Republican county, so that means most of these races are decided on March 5th. We don't wait till November because there's really not much competition between the Republicans and the Democrats. So November is really, it's just going through the motions because it's really actually decided. So we have some great candidates running, and we have some incumbents that are wanting to stay in their position. And so we want to get to know them. So you want to save the date for February 5th, which is a Monday at 201 Event Mesquite Center in downtown Abilene, for the Taylor County Republican primary candidate forum. And so the doors open at 5. There'll be tables set up for you to interact with the candidates, and then we'll have some structured engagement with them from 5:30 to 8:30, and then a little bit of time afterwards for you to be able to continue to engage with them and get to know fellow people who are showing up to be engaged and informed in what's going on in our community. And, you know, I used to kind of balk away from saying I was a Republican. I just didn't like that because the national level is just kind of a nastier beast that I'm not super excited to participate in. But when I recognize that we are a Republican county, we have to own it, because we're certainly not going to be a Democrat county, because we know that the policies that they have aren't really a good fit for our community. And so let me show you here. We have a lot of different candidates that are going to be here. We have some incumbents coming, and sadly, some incumbents are not showing up, which I think shows a reflection of how little they think our voice matters, because they can't even show up to the major Republican forum that is set up for this county. And, you know, fair enough. They may really not have to show up, and it may be a shoo-in for them, but for them not to show up speaks volumes about how little they care about being a part of engaging with the community that wants to hear from them. All the people showing up for this forum are people who want to know where they stand, and they want to understand what they're doing to represent us. And so for them not to show up says a lot more about their indifference to what's going on and the needs of Abilene or the big country than it says about their ability to be successful in the state or house districts that they're representing. So we have Jody Arrington, incumbent, as having a representative come from Texas District 19 for the U.S. Congress. We have two candidates, Chance Ferguson and Vance Boyd, are running against him. Texas House District 71, our incumbent is Stan Lambert, and she should be there as far as I know. And Liz Case is running against him as a challenger. Then we have Taylor County Sheriff Ricky Bishops, the incumbent, and Shay Bailey and Elias Carrasquillo Jr. are the challenges. And then now Taylor County Commissioner Precinct 1 has a challenger against the incumbent, Randy Williams, who's been serving for 16 years, Javier Villarreal. So this is only a special segment of the community that gets to vote on that, because Precinct 3 is unchallenged. So I believe that one is not even, I mean, he's already going to be elected. And then I think the next time around, it'll be 2 and 4. And that's off the cuff, so I may be wrong on that. But early voting actually starts February 20th through March 4th, because Election Day is Tuesday, March 5th. And so if you don't know where to find out resources about these candidates running for office, you know, a great place to start would probably be the Taylor County Republican Party or an Abley Republican Women Club member, because they are engaged and active in what's going on in our community, and they have a lot of good insight to these people because they've been engaged with what these people are doing for our community. All right. So, you know, it's always good to start to get involved in ways we've never been involved before. But one of the ways we're going to be able to get involved, if I can get it out, is that there is going to be a State of the City address. Now, to my knowledge, and Mayor Anthony Williams did it one time, so I'm not sure what's going to happen with this one. But February 6th, we want to join him at the Downtown Hotel Convention Center, and we want to show up big because we want to hear what our mayor has to say, because, you know, he is representing us and we are at the top of that organizational chart. So please join me February 6th to join him for the State of the City address and hear what Mayor Weldon Hurt has to say. Now, I have really tried to understand this website, and maybe I've not done as great a job as I could have, because, you know, I've felt like I know where the go-to places are. But I happened to scroll down a little bit on the main page, on the homepage, and there was some news flash. Oh, here we go. So we have a lady dressed up like a mermaid because she does something for the calf. And then we have the State of the City address, and we have some winner tips and the impound auction. But here's some new stuff that I really didn't know was at the bottom of the page, because the website's set up, or maybe the way I look at it on my phone or my computer, I just never saw it. And so here we have some police chief stuff. But then I noticed this. Looky here. Let me see. Here it is. Where is it? Okay. This is back from October. So it says, residents of City of Abilene are sent a monthly municipal services bill. While colloquially still called the water bill by some, the bill represents payments for a suite of services offered by the city to help with everything from road maintenance. So I'm going to click on here and see if it comes up with a picture. Because I thought there was something interesting that I wanted to see, and it's not going to show me. Okay, I'll just keep reading then. From road maintenance to maintaining infrastructure for drainage. The City of Abilene, did it work? There it is. So reading your municipal services bills. This is live here. You know, we got to work with what we got. Okay, so its current fee schedule for all charges is available online. You click government, and then you do fee schedule for the complete list of fees. The environmental charge is a $3.50 fee that supports stormwater services public education efforts. So did you know that you get to pay for being educated on how to handle stuff in the city? I thought that was really interesting. This is maybe anticlimactic, I'm sorry. But again, we're paying for ourselves to be educated. Did you know that? And then they have a solid waste environmental program, their recycling program. And then now notice this, in April 2024, the environmental charge will be rolled into your department's total charge and won't appear separate. So I feel like because we saw this, we now know that we're paying an educational fee, which makes me go, why are we paying an educational fee? Shouldn't they be able to find the funding without us having to pay on top of them educating us how to do things correctly? Anyway, these are the things that make you go, why are we paying $3.50? Again, we're talking like less than $45 a year. But how many years have you lived and you're paying to be educated? Again, I wish it was up front, and it is up front, I guess. But now look at your water, your municipal, what do they call it? It's not your water bill. It is your municipal services bill. So, you know, we agreed to pay for the street maintenance. That's what we voted on and stuff like that. So I just thought that was interesting. I wanted to show you as I learn things. I want to show you that where you can look for stuff. I do find that sometimes the media gets wind of things from the city before the city will put it on its page. And so it stinks if you only look at the city and don't get to watch local news because you don't have an antenna and you don't take time to actually watch TV that much. So anyway, all right, let's go ahead and move into the week in review. So it's not very often that I get to go, wow, I'm so glad I know that. That's really helpful. A lot of times it's just information for later use to be determined if I will use it. But it's important because we never know when we're going to need to know what we need to know until we need to know it. And then we're grateful we took the time to learn about it. So I just wanted to show you that some of you may have noticed I didn't post my Book by the Bite review this week because we actually had an opportunity to go to DC this week and took a chance and thought, you know, I'll ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And so that'll be coming out next week. And I know that that's going to build over time as people begin to learn to value what it means to read quality books that teach us stuff that will help us understand how to engage in our culture better, especially as we seek to make an impact. So I wasn't able to do that podcast this week, but, and so I didn't go to any of the meetings, and it turns out it was a good week for me to miss because a lot of cancellations happened this week and it was so worth it to miss. But as I was flying into Abilene today, I looked at the terminal and I thought, wow, you know, that is I know a lot more about that terminal than most passengers on here. And it's because of the Abilene Development Board, the Airport Development Board meeting that happened last week. I know about the food place, which I was really underimpressed, is that a better way to say it, with their advertising or their marketing in that food area. It really seems like it's not there, so that was surprising. But, you know, looking at the escalators that have been giving them grief for so long, seeing the empty rental car booths paying for an extra day because we were like 10 minutes late from... We were supposed to be back within 3 days, and then we had to pay another $12 because we were just a little bit, maybe like an hour late of missing that window, which is kind of stinks. And from just, you know, dropping off. But I will say that the people that work in our Abilene Airport are so friendly and nice. And I'm so thankful from the American Airlines people who check us in, employees to the TSA, and they just, you know, they just make me glad to fly out of Abilene. And so I hope I can fly out of Abilene more because it's way better than most of the other airports we go to. And so I'm really grateful for what we have here in Abilene at the airport. And I hope it continues to bring us good revenue to help support our economy. So that's my little note from perks of paying attention to stuff in the city. All right. But the other perk is, as I was getting ready for this podcast, I was flipping through the back and I saw the fee schedules that they update the fees at the beginning of the, you know, this is going to be a fun book to you and you're going to, you know, laugh. And if you have a copy, you know, you got to send me a selfie or something. I'm just kidding. Most people are not going to. And it's probably a bridge too far, but we're going to get to know this thing because it's supposed to be used by us and it's supposed to be understood by us. And so I was flipping through the back and I don't know why there's a bunch of fee schedules or fee updates that they make each year. And I didn't notice, except I flipped all the way and there was a glossary. And I thought, wow, that councilman should have directed me here to learn what the definition of expenditures are. And it's different types of fund that comes in basically to help budget, you know, what they're trying to do. I'm not going to read the definition because it's really long and boring, but we know what expenditures are because we're not stupid. And then also here are the revenue. But look, I noticed the revenue bonds. Like there's so many things if you want to look in here. You just got to read it. It's not super exciting. It's not something you want to spend a whole lot of time on, but it's worth taking the time to do it because you learn a lot of great things. So there was only a couple meetings this week. The Parks and Recreation Board meeting was canceled this week. I'm not sure why, but I thought it was still worth us going through and looking at their presentation. So they have an agenda packet. I'm going to scroll up and show you this. If you come in here, they have their agenda and their agenda packet. The agenda packet is typically has the presentation slides that they'll use and any information that is something that will help you understand what is going on. So especially for the city council meeting, you're going to really want to be able to look over those because it will tell you insight to things that they're going to talk about that they won't even address. And you don't want to go in and start talking about things that are covered in the meeting packet so that you can look like you are ready because you're educated and informed on how you're going to make an impact in those 3 minutes of your public comment speaking, if that's what you're going to do. But I thought here, this is some important stuff. The baseball and softball future needs. Okay, pay attention. If you like baseball and softball, listen up. This is where I found this out. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to meet next week or they're not going to meet on Tuesday this week. So I don't know if they're going to reschedule it or what they're going to do, but I wanted to make this note because this is a good time for you to email in and say, hey, pick me. Maybe you'll have better luck. I did play softball and I've attended many baseball games, but I'm not sure if I'm qualified by their standards to serve in this capacity. But they have brought both representatives of baseball and softball. They've been approached for updates to update the facilities or for updates and new facilities. The city of Abilene has already contracted with La Tierra Studies to develop a master plan. So a master plan means they're going to come up with what it's going to cost to make those changes. And so the city manager is asking the Parks and Rec Board to form a task force. So if you want to help make an impact in how things go with baseball and softball, reach out to Leslie Andrews. She is in charge of the parks and recreation. She's the city staff, the big kahuna. Big Kahuna, I think that's how you say it, in charge of the Parks and Rec, and she's really nice. So you reach out to her and say, listen, I want to be a part of the task force, and she can tell you what the short and long term. And if you do, let me know so we can wait and see if you get picked. All of you that listen in. And so I'm going to be telling people, hey, do you want to make an impact on the baseball and softball fields and what they have, the facilities, and let Leslie Andrews know. It's a simple email to say, I'm interested in being on the task force for the baseball and softball changes or updates and new facilities. Can you let me know how I do that? What application do I fill out? It's a quick email and it'll be well worth your time because we want more people involved and engaged so we can make an impact. And here's where you can make an impact. Now, here's a head scratcher. We have allocated $500,000 to relocate a dog park. And I have no idea why. I cannot see any reason why. I thought, well, maybe it was in the way of the new flat fields. To my knowledge, it doesn't look like it's in the way. It's just probably not as aesthetically pleasing. And maybe someone will help me become educated, informed as to why they need to spend $500,000 on a dog park. I don't understand. But that's what they're going to do. And so they're going to relocate it over by the new animal facility over at Cal Young Park off East South 11th. So it looks like here's a picture of what they're going to be doing. Here's the, I believe this is maybe the facility, and then it's going to be back here. And I guess that makes sense because it's near the animal facility. I don't know. And then they have some grant applications. I thought this was really interesting to look at. Again, this is where we start to learn the vernacular, the wording, what they're doing. So these are grants that they get to pay for these costs. They want to replace dugout bullpens, replace chain link. And here, even after I read through this, look here, the estimated total project cost is $100,000. The grant funding covers $85,000. So you can see that's about $21,000 shortfall of what it's going to cost the city. Then we have the Wally Fast Pitch. They're going to add HVAC in the concession press box and windows. The total cost is $45,000. The grant fund only covers $36,000. The Fast Pitch Softball Association, batting cages with $25,000 for each cage. They recommend to approve up to 4 new batting cages. No funding for that, so that's $100,000. The Wiley Little League dugout and fields, it's going to cost estimated of $54,000 with a grant fund of only $43,000. So there's a difference of, what is that, $11,000? Then we have the hockey rink. They want to resurface the hockey rink for $27,000 with only grant funding of $21,000. Bench awnings for $8,000 or almost $9,000 with only covering about $7,000 of that. Slab and benches, concrete slab and benches, $24,000 with $19,000. Again, I'm just showing you what they're applying for, and here's some estimated cost. The estimated cost for covers over home plate, covers over concession stand areas is $38,000, only $30,000 in funding. And so here's the big picture. They're wanting to award them $286,000. So they're wanting the city council to, I guess, approve the funds of the difference of the cost. Okay. So, but this is still confusing to me because is that $286,000 the total amount of everything, or is that just the grants? And then, as we know, it was probably, you know, maybe $100,000, $150,000 off the top of my head, an additional cost to the city. And again, I'm going to show you some things that we're going to look into. But these are the details that I'm not real clear on where you go to find out. And so I would love it if we could figure out how do we track this money to see where it's going. And of course, they have the reports. You know, they gave, there was a total of 4,100 work hours, and they spent 37,500 man hours completing it. And then they have recreation. There's a daddy-daughter dance on February 3rd at the Taylor County Coliseum for $12 a person. And then they had a polar pickleball palooza. And then there's a kite fest on February 17th. So the seniors have a Valentine's Day party. And listen, Black History Month. While we celebrate 1 month of the year to learn about Black history, let's do it all year is what I would say. A lot of great history we can learn from all different people in our nation. You can win a grand prize. What that is, I don't know. And so then we have the zoo, and the contest ends February 26th. And then we have zoo days, wild days, March 19th through 17th. So that's the Parks and Rec information. But I thought what would be good is I could just show you really quickly. I'm not going to go into too much detail because I'm already spending way more time. So the funding source for the Parks and Rec, you know, this is in page 209 of your Parks and the operating budget. So the approved for this year is about $800,000. Which is a little less than what was revised spent. I mean, they spent approved for $1.3 million in 2023, and they only spent $821,000. So look, they saved some money. So I wonder if tracking that money, it's almost impossible. Where does that extra money go? What do they do with it? Okay. And then what I thought was interesting is they have 88 employees. Here's where I was starting to look before when I was doing research for the bond, because, you know, where do we make allotment for repairing old things? So they have maintenance, they have recreation, they have aquatics, they have senior services, cemeteries, you know, but there's no real easy path forward for them to repair old buildings like they, you know, so that's why they went with the bond. But they had, I think there's some other steps they could have taken to fill it in. But I mean, we're talking like the maintenance on, I don't even know how many parks it is. It's like $3 million. It's quite a lot. And then recreation services is another 1.2. They have personnel. I don't know if that's staff or the rec centers or what. This is stuff that I wish I could ask questions, but I haven't quite found the path forward. So we just know it costs a lot of money, but they have all these goals that they're setting, and they split it out to show you like, they want to develop and implement Parks and Recreation Master Plan. And so they want to get 100%, I guess, in 2024. They budgeted 100% of that, which that's interesting. And I don't know what that means. You know, there's a lot of new stuff. So this seems like a lot of information that isn't quite as helpful as I would like for it to be. So what I also thought was important was to look at the zoo. The zoo is owned by the city. And, sorry, it's very sensitive to my movement. Okay, here we go. I'm just going to do it here. So the general fund, they are approved for 2023-2024, $2.7 million. And these are my questions. Again, I'm not saying I have the lowdown. I'm trying to understand this because as the top of the organizational chart, we should be able to understand simple budgeting procedures like this. And also, as you know, they're wanting to engage with the community. They want to be fiscally responsible. You know, the missions are, you know, the mission statements we talked about last time. So it's $2.7 million and the expenditures are $5.9 million. So my brain says you spend more at the zoo than you make. How does that even out? So, you know, looking into this is interesting. Personnel is 4.8. And I do think this is where I know a little bit of information. The personnel services is 4.8. But here's where the Abilene Zoological Society is supposedly paying for some personnel. But I haven't found any way to find any information on the Abilene Zoological Society, even though I'm a member. I don't know much about that and where the lines are crossed. And that's what's confusing to me. But I just wanted to show you this. So, you know, the go bond for $15 million. Remember, we're getting to pay an extra $27 million in interest on those bonds we voted for, because we don't talk about that part. Anyway, and they have their objectives and stuff like that. I don't understand the purpose of the objectives. It seems a little confusing to me because you have budget, actual budget, and it's like, how do you budget percentage annual growth, or how do you budget that you're communicating more to people? I don't understand that. All right, so we're just going to move on. I think that's enough of the chit chat about stuff that had nothing to do with the meeting that they had. I just want you to know you can become familiar and you can ask these questions. And again, I'm asking questions that I think out loud. I'm thinking these questions out loud that when I see this, I go, huh, explain that to me. And again, as I find these, the path forward to understand these things, I'll share them with you. The Keep Abilene Beautiful Board Agenda. Again, I think it met. I'm not really sure. I can't tell. There's no packet. They did include minutes, which is helpful. They did post their minutes. The zoo did not, or the Parks and Rec did not post minutes. And so I was reading up on some of the things they wanted to accomplish at the last meeting. And so they have all these different things. They have committees, which seems really efficient. When I went to their one meeting, they had all these different groups talking about things they were working on. And I thought that was a brilliant way of use of the resources to manage time and projects well. But again, I can't even find where that fits in the budget. I do know that there is some funding for it because I know the city pays for certain things, but where's that funding and how do we track what they're doing with it? They are talking about restructuring with some legal advice on how they can do that. And again, it would just be awesome if there was a little bit more information so we can know what they're talking about. Because I do know they have projects. They want volunteer hours. They want people to serve in this capacity. I just haven't found the path of understanding these conversations very well yet. So the only thing I wanted to point out is that, you know, we just go with what we got. We work on learning more information so we can ask better questions and find better answers to the things we seek. With that said, I think that'll wrap up the week in review. So let's go ahead and look at the week in preview. It's going to be a quick one because there's a lot of cancellations. Again, I don't know why they're canceled. They don't tell us why, and may not be necessary for them to let us know, but at least they're telling us ahead of time. So the Development Corporation of Abilene board meeting is on January 23rd from 10:30 to 11:30 at the floor board room, on the second floor board room. And they have their agenda minutes. And then the Fireman Relief and Retirement Fund board is also on January 23rd about the same time. At the same time, I guess. And that is at the finance conference room. So I think that's at the city hall. And then they've rescheduled the Abilene Housing Authority. Oh, that was canceled last week. The Abilene Housing Authority was rescheduled for January 24th, I guess the weather. And then and that's it. So we do have a council meeting on Thursday, which will be at 8:30. And there was one thing I wanted to point out to you that I thought was interesting. And I've been talking to you about this, and I tried to hold good to my word. I tried to look and see if I could find any information about this particular plot. This is the final and public hearing for the ordinance to change the zoning on Buffalo Gap Road near Starbucks and the Golden Chick, that little section of land. And like I read to you last time, it said that they actually proposed it to be an educational opportunity in the back of the property. And that was always the original plan. However, we never heard anything about that at any of the meetings prior to that. So that's where I'm always like, why wouldn't we know that information at the planning and zoning meeting where it was tabled three times? Once due to error on the city's part because they wrote the wrong name down. Once because there wasn't a quorum, I think. And once because I can't even remember why. But it's been tabled way too much. But to not know this information is curious to me. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. It's not going to be the last time I'm wrong, but it's like I didn't know anything about how this has been going on since 2004, this PPD or this public, I can't remember what PD stands for right now. Anyway, so I just looked. There's several different, you can see there's the ordinance, the staff report, the Mindy Morris edition revise. I looked for CUPs, which are conditional use permits to change this zoning. I looked under all these title names. I looked everything I could possibly look up in the city website, and I couldn't find anything. Nothing. However, I clicked on one link, and I want to show you what it brought up. Look here. It brought up Google Maps. And so here is the property. It looks like there was a house still on here. So this is pretty old. I couldn't find a date on it, but I was like, hey, that's kind of fun. Look, there's Google Maps, but nothing on the city website, gave me any information that I was looking for. And again, I'm still learning. So maybe I didn't type the exact words, or maybe there's not really much information about it because it's not really accessible to us. We'll have to keep pursuing and looking into it. So that's, all I wanted to show with you. I wanted to share with you today about the agenda coming up, but please join me. I'll be there learning about all the different things that our city is doing. There's some purchasing going on. There's several ordinances, and it's just good to get to know how things work. It's not something you have to attend all the time, but it is good to show up and be present because then you will be ready when you need to show up. You'll have a a grid on how you can function. So like I said, I was so blessed to get to go to DC and participate in some things there. And, you know, DC is just one of those magical places for me because I love history. I love the way our country was formed. There's just so many amazing things. Now there's some dark parts to it too. It's not all like, you know, beautiful, but there's just such a historic beauty that I really love engaging with when I get to go there. And I haven't gotten to go there a lot, but it is one of those bucket list things every time. And so I just wanted to share with you, here is a picture of me. I got to haul very quickly up Capitol Hill, back to the back of the Library of Congress to try and meet a crowd that was coming over there. And it was really fun. It was cold, it was snowy, and I was sweaty. And then I get back to Texas today and I'm like, oh my gosh, it is so cold. And it's like, it's not even snowing, but it was colder here in Texas than it was in DC, in my opinion. But one of the things that was really sobering, because I've never got to do anything like that, and it's really one of those neat things to do, I will have to say, is that you realize how small you are and what a big world we live in. And I love seeing, I'm going to show you a video right here of me taking pictures of the masses walking by. And it was just amazing. Like, they never stopped. I ended up leaving before they all got through because there was just so many people. And they were all standing up for something that mattered to them, something very important. And it really, what's funny is you think going to DC would make me want to be more involved in what they're doing there. But actually, what it did was it makes me recognize how powerful our voices are here, because we don't have that many people in our area. We are using our voice. We need to use our voice as well, because they actually carry way more weight in our city than they actually do in the nation. And that's why we're trying to work on making impact in Abilene, in the big country. And so please know that what you're doing here, every little right decision you make to create a better place for our community, is benefiting so many more people than you realize. And it's definitely benefiting our future generations. And so that's why we want to show up to things like the Taylor County Republican and Abilene Republican Women Club Forum, because we want to engage in the leadership that leads our state and be a part of that and make sure they represent the local people, not just people that they get money from in the state. Or, you know, because we know that there's a lot of lobbyists. You know, we were, my husband loves lots of information, and he was like, do you know K Street's known for all the lobbyists there? Like, that's just where they have all the lobbyists in DC. And I was like, yeah, thanks for that information. But I mean, there are a lot of people advocating for things to be done in our city and in our city, state, and nation. And if we're not advocating like those lobbyists, then they're going to be heard more than us. And they have money, and we just have our voices. But our voices carry way more weight than those lobbyists' money, because we get to elect who represents us. And again, they don't have to do what we want, but that's why elections matter, because we get to pick people who will actually do what we want them to do. And that is to restore order and the chaos that's going on in our nation. We can do that. And I love that Texas is doing that at the border right now. They're fighting back because they're saying enough is enough. And that's what we have to do. We have to say enough is enough. Don't go there and play games in places of power. You go there and you fight for the citizens and represent all of them, not just a select few. So it's very powerful. And so it's funny, going to DC made me more emboldened to fight for what we have in our city and to not let people do the same old tired hack. The same old tired tactics of shutting people down, because we want to engage in conversation, and people who just shut down the conversation are not for the good of our city, our county, our state, and our nation. They're just in it for power, and they're just in it for control. And conversations can expose things and bring to light things that aren't good. And that's why some people are afraid of conversations. But if conversations are had and we find out that things are good, then let's keep moving forward in that great direction. But I have a feeling that we've been far too silent for far too long, and we've let things go a little bit off the track we need them to be on, because we haven't been engaged. And so that's why it is so important that you make sure you subscribe and you share whatever platform you listen to with your friends and family, so that we can all be educated and informed and empowered to make an impact in Abilene, in the big country. Until next time.